Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You are about to listen to Series 5, Episode 2 of Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Some of the cool kids call it Rahalastapa. I don't know if you're one of them or not. It doesn't really matter to me. This is free. We want to keep the audio free always, so you can enjoy it, even if you don't have any money or if you resent paying for things, even if you're super rich. Probably like you're David Cameron, but you want to keep all your money because you're a greedy prick. But if you want to pay for this, and if you want to help fund future projects, because we can't afford to do all of this for nothing, we've got loads of other ideas and we'd love to do, just go to www.gofasterstripe.com, where you can either download a video version of these podcasts for a very reasonable fee, or if you go to www.gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL, Rahimol, as some of the cool kids call it, you can donate money, either just a one-off payment for a badge or a monthly payment via PayPal for another different badge, and that would be incredibly helpful to us. Then we'll put all the money from that into making new comedy for you, which will then hopefully all go up for nothing, which would be beautiful if that happens. Or come and see me on tour. We're All Going to Die. Go to richardherring.com for details of that. You can also see my video show, Meaning of Life, which will be up on vimeo.com/channels/RHMOL. And there's a podcast of that as well on iTunes, Richard Herring's Meaning of Life. Look out for that. So there's loads more free stuff. There's some paid stuff you can choose to pay for if you want. Anyway, now let's listen to the next episode. I wonder what crazy adventures we'll get up to this week. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who, when he's orgasming when having sex with a fan, shouts moon on a stick. Will you please welcome Richard Herring? Hello! I've forgotten everything. I'm Richard Herring. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids call it, Rahalastapur. Hey, yeah. Oh, you're much better than last week's audience. I literally never get tired of that. So let's have a little chat. There's some people have turned up over here. They weren't here last week. I don't think I've done something to this. Oh, Chris has gone, so it's no good. Because it's good to be able to see you, but I've fucked this up. This is making it now. Oh, stand by now.
think I'll just fuck it. It's broken. I'll just talk to you. What's your name? Harry.
Harry.
Carrie. That makes more sense. What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, you're a teacher. What do you teach?
English.
In English. Have you ever had sex with any of your pupils? It's what everyone was thinking. I just thought I'd address the elephant in the room.
No.
How old are the pupils that you teach?
They're between 14 and 18.
14 and 18? There'd be nothing wrong with that. What? What's your friend? What's your name?
Ellie.
What do you do, Ellie?
I work for the Citizens Advice Bureau.
You work for the Citizens Advice Bureau. I'm a citizen. What advice can you give me? Do you actually have a bureau there? Because why is it called a bureau? It's an office, yeah, but like a bureau. My dad had a bureau. He kept all his envelopes in it. What's the most stupid thing you've been asked, apart from what I've just said to you? You don't give advice. That's fucking brilliant. I work for the Citizens Advice Bureau, and I don't give advice. They come and I need some advice. No, come to the wrong place. That does not happen. What do you do for the Citizen Advice Bureau? You're a project coordinator of a big lottery project. Do you just steal money from the Citizen Advice Bureau and put it on lottery tickets? Is that what happens? And hope you win. You should do that. That would be good. How do you know Carrie? You're a friend. You're a friend of a friend. Hey, is this a little date we've got going on here? Is that what's happening? It's all right. It's the 21st century. It's allowed now. She was a bridesmaid at your wedding. Yeah. And how's it going with your husband?
10 years.
10 years. It's still going. Where is he? There's an empty seat here next to you. I was worried you'd go, he died. He died yesterday. And we thought we'd come out and cheer ourselves up. Thanks for bringing it up. I'm delighted your husband's still. That's very good. Well done. Well done, Karen. A lot of people don't understand that. Do you like my T-shirt? It's different than last week's T-shirt. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot, Carrie? No? Okay. It's a good question, isn't it? And who are these two fellas here? They ain't chancing them. They're kind of hoping. They've sat there thinking, a couple of young ladies. I don't usually meet them in my day-to-day IT job. What do you do? You work in IT? Well, you work in a shop?
Yes.
You're not allowed to sell anything, I expect, when you get people come in. Can I buy something? No, I don't. I don't do that. Which shop do you work in? You work in a shop selling art and craft supplies.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, I know what arts and craft supplies are. Paints and stuff. Yeah, we know that. What about your friend? He's got like a lemon on his T-shirt with an orbit going around it with a supermarket trolley on it. Is that what the young people are into these days? Is that what's that? What's your T-shirt about? Because mine is very clear. You know, that asks a question, and and if you bought this from Cotton Cart, richardherring.cottoncart.com, that is an icebreaker, isn't it? You go to a party, go, have you ever seen a Bigfoot? People go, no. The ice is broken with you. They're just confused by the lemon orbits and the supermarket trolley going around it. What is that about?
It's a U2 T-shirt.
It's a U2 T-shirt. That is even fucking more embarrassing. What is that? Supermarket Lemon? Was that the album? Supermarket Lemon, Orbit in Space. That is what's going on. You like U2? Yeah, they're all right. You must quite like them to wear their T-shirts. You can't wear their T-shirt and then go... Although, actually, my mother-in-law bought me a Walking Dead sweatshirt for Christmas because I'm doing a show called We're All Going to Die. You've seen it. She just thought that was apt, not knowing that's a TV show. So if I go out wearing my sweatshirt, people go, oh, do you like The Walking Dead? No, I've never seen it. Why are you wearing the sweatshirt of that? That is insane. So, you know, it's good. She's made me look nuts. But I just go out wearing my own branded clothes now. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of the time. And how are the butlers? I should say hello to the butlers. How are you doing? You still butling? Still in the same place? Yeah? Are we that old, you know? Yeah. Yeah, she's fine. She's fine. Good. It's good to know. So anything exciting happened in the last few months since you've come to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast? Have you seen a Bigfoot? No, see, the ice is broken. See, look at that. The ice is broken. Nothing happened. Nothing good happened. No. I still know. Any good nuclear fission been going on? Fusion? No. Any advances in energy that will save the planet? I understand the planet's fucked. We're getting rain power. Well, we're going to be very rich in this country if that comes up, isn't it? About some wind power. That'll be good. Oh, you've got that already. So will you please welcome my guest today? She is probably best known from appearing in the film The House with Cleopatra and Friends. I believe starred the pop group Cleopatra. Do you remember them? Cleopatra coming at you and then going away. Will you please welcome Jenny Eclair? Hello, how you doing? Sit down, pick up a mic.
I do.
Speak into the
mic. I remember doing Cleopatra coming at you. I tell you who came at me. Shane Ritchie.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he was in it and I had to French kiss him.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, was it in the script or just you were overwhelmed with desire and seeing
him? It was
him?
In the script. Okay. I don't know why, but I do remember him looming down and yes.
French kiss. Script said, yeah, French. Even though we're not able to see inside your mouths, you must put your tongue in.
I think he took advantage
of it. Did he?
I'm really, really disturbed by your shoes, Richard. I don't know where. There's something of the fat pimp about what you're wearing. It's the jeans. You can't wear stonewashed denim and then sort of slightly pointed black leather.
I can do whatever I like. And little purple socks I've got on.
It's really disturbing.
I ran in today, so I was wearing my running shoes and they got dirty. So I brought these anyway, just in case. I didn't want to come in my running shoes onto stage. So I put some nice shoes on. These are smart shoes. My mum would be very happy. They're from Oliver Sweeney. No, not Oliver Sweeney. They're from Jeffrey someone.
They look like you've been selling Polish girls somewhere. It's horrible. I didn't run. I've been here all bloody day in the West
Have
End.
You?
I'm exhausted. I'm so sorry I'm not Steve Coogan. He thought that he might be able to get Steve Coogan because Steve Coogan was going to be in town because of the BAFTAs. Don't bother. He's not here, love.
He's not. None of them know
I'm
that,
not
though.
Suddenly going to say, well, surprise, surprise. I was at drama school with Steve Coogan.
Oh, you?
Yeah, but I'd left by the time he arrived because I'm a sight older. Anyway, yes, I've been in the West End all day.
You went to see Gravity, which I understand you enjoyed.
Well, before Gravity, I went to see my gynecologist.
Did you?
Yes. I decided to pay to see a proper gynecologist. Because some of them are real, you know.
What gynecologist to do for nothing?
Sometimes you just bend over and someone gives you a check out. You don't want that. You don't want that.
No. I've got one of those things. Is it speculum? Is that what it's called? I'll have a look.
Yeah, I've got a filthy speculum. You've got no pants on, bend over. Anyway. I paid to see a woman who knew about hormones because I'd gone to see my doctor about my periods. I'm so sorry, but I have to tell you. And I talked to her, I talked to this woman about my periods for 10 minutes. I was banging on about them. And after that, I thought she was listening. I'd gone into quite graphic detail about my periods. And she said, after 10 minutes, have you had a hysterectomy? And I thought, I cannot trust this woman with my vagina. I really can't. So I went and saw someone that I paid to tell me that I'm fine.
Okay, good.
And then, so you're in town, aren't you? And you think, well, I could get a bus back to Camberwell. And then I'd have to get a bus back. And I thought, well, I'll hang out in the West End. Well, it's
awful, were your pants back
it?
On by this stage? When you say hang out...
She didn't want to examine me.
Didn't she? I wonder why.
I hope she was kind. Anyway, so I hung out in town. Oh, it's awful. Are any of you on half term? Are any of you young people on half term?
Yeah, well, you might be on half term. We should have teachers.
You're
butlers,
on half term. You're
not like a child.
You're teachers, you deserve fun. But all those other cunts on the street. The kids, aren't they awful? I do have so much respect for you. So I was getting weepy in Selfridges, and I thought, well, I'll go and see Gravity. Have you heard of this film?
I have heard of it.
It's awful.
It won a lot of BAFTAs.
Well, so people tell me. I did an hour, and I left on the line where Sandra Bullock, of whom I am a fan,
yep.
She goes, no one taught me to pray. I thought, I'm getting my fucking coat, I tell you. And I thought, I cannot stay now. I thought it was a dreadful, dreadful piece of entertainment. Very good special effects if you're into that kind of thing.
Mm. Adam Buxton, who was on last week, was telling me in the dressing room that he enjoyed it, yes.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, good for Adam. I went to Wagamama.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I bumped into Gabby Roslin.
Did you?
I won the day.
I did a charity event with Gabby Roslin at the Victoria and Albert Museum last year.
Really?
Yeah, we hosted a thing for the Missing People charity.
Ah.
Yeah. We were very nice. Neither of us took any payment. Both of us are born on July the 12th.
Oh, anything else you want to tell us about that?
No, just I thought it was quite impressive. That she was quite freaked out, I knew. But I'd...
Doing your research.
Yeah, but, you know,
stalking.
Because it was for a long time, my only ambition was to be in the Guardian birthdays.
Yes, have you done that? Have you managed
I've finally done it. The last couple of years I've been in, but it took until
do you feel
the
really anxious
years.
On your birthday? I bet this year when
now
it's your
I mean,
birthday...
I don't mind.
No, you'll be really anxious. I know
but I slip out again. Gabby Roslin's there, Bill Cosby, Julius Caesar's always in there. July the 12th. If you want to buy me a present, just to let you know. She's very nice, Gabby.
She looked well. She looked like she was on HRT as well.
Did she?
Yeah. Good skin, good hair. I tell you, I don't know why balding men don't take it. It's turning me into...
Because they'd grow breasts, I think, is the...
It's not made any difference to my breasts, but my hair and my nails, I'm turning into a wolf. Genuinely. I've always had very poor hair. I now have quite thick... Well, it's not great, but it's not as bad as it used to be. But yes, it's very good.
Does it have any effect on your ability to screen what you're saying to strangers?
No.
Does it sort of open you up so that everything has to be told to everyone?
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
God, I'm so sorry.
That is what we want on this.
I'm overcompensating because I'm not Steve Coogan. I'm just so sorry.
Nobody knew that Steve Coogan was on the table. I just said there might be a bit, and we got Adam Buxton, and people would have thought that was it. Not Jenny Eclair, no way, but they they might have thought. Each week I'm looking at Dirty Britcom Confessions, the website where
I've never
comedy
heard
fans.
Of this. Am I in it?
No.
Right. I am in the Guardian birthdays and the Sun birthdays, but I'm not in this squad.
I can't believe you're not in there. Everybody is in there. Stufa is in there.
Stufa the cat. Harry Hill's cat.
Someone has a sexual fantasy over that. I think you're very sexy. I'm going to go and put some in there.
I don't want yours.
I'm going to.
I've got
some good ones. I've shared flats with you. I know all about you.
Do you have them?
I've got about three or four on there. Yeah, but again, they're main. I think having been in a double act, especially with quite an attractive guy. So that's I'm talking from Stu's perspective here. Dirty people like the idea of sleeping with a double act, as Adam and Joe proved last week. So most of mine are either Liam Herring or Colin.
I need to get myself a double act partner, don't I?
Yeah, get a double act partner.
Okay, and then I'll be in it. All right. Okay, I'll work on that.
Yeah, I was disappointed. So I think
people
at home should go and add that in because Stufa.
What was Stufa the sexual fantasy about Stufa?
I can't remember. I should think it's about
it. It'll be wanking with a glove puppet, won't it? That sort of thing. I used to have a line about that, actually, sort of about, you know, funny men, how I don't find funny men attractive. Sorry, Rich. But
it would have been better to say, I find you very attractive. That would have been by far the better
thing. And I used to have a line saying, if I want to laugh and come at the same time, I'll toss myself off with a glove puppet. Oh, my mother would be so proud of me. Thank goodness she has no idea about how to do the podcasting. No.
I'm going to email her.
Email her? That's useless. She hasn't got an email.
I'm going to go round to her house and shout about your periods.
Whisper through the door, yeah.
Your daughter's been talking about her periods again.
Yes.
Well, the first thing you did, according to IMDb, which is one of my main go-to places... I don't think I mentioned this. We did talk at the Edinburgh Fringe podcast. You played a room service waitress in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet,
yes.
In the 1980s.
Yes, weil ich kann gut durchsprechen, weil ich wohnte in Deutschland seit von 4 Jahren. There'll be some filthy stuff about me now, on that website. Did you hear that, German?
That's very good.
Yeah, that's the only line. I used to live in Germany.
Oh, right.
And Kuala Lumpur and various other places, because I'm quite exotic and fascinating. When I left drama school, I auditioned for some things, and that was one. Auf Wiedersehen, Pet was one of the things. And I do remember going to a party. Do you remember the boy that died?
I do.
Gary
Holton or something, yeah.
I've never seen a line of coke as long. I've seen some lines of coke in my time. And this one, he chopped it up on a fridge freezer. You know those long ones? Yeah. Those really long ones?
The flat ones that
you
open up.
Yeah, that open up like a coffin. Yeah. Yes. Well, absolutely, yes. Yeah. And I watched him snort this line, and it went on and on and on and on until I was bored of watching. And I really wasn't surprised.
And did he take the whole thing?
He took the whole thing. There was nothing left. I had to have fish fingers out of the freezer. Chop them up. Oh, those were the days. Long time ago.
Did he sing the nerd mind? Did he sing the theme tune to Murphy's Mob as well? Was that him? I think he was in a band. I'm not sure he did do that. In my mind, I've got a connection.
There were
with...
two Gary Oldmans.
No one remembers
there.
Him.
No.
I was hoping when I was on Pointless that would come up. That
you've reached a level of nerd that no one even in this room can achieve.
Yeah.
That's quite something.
It is.
How did you do on Pointless?
I can't talk about it yet because it hasn't been on TV. And I'm too bereft. I've managed to forget about it.
I've done it twice.
Have you?
Yeah, once really, me and Linda Robson did it, and our first question, I didn't understand the rules as well. It doesn't make sense.
Nobody understood. Nobody else had ever seen the programme I was on with, and nobody understood the rules at all.
I'm obsessed
with the programme.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Were you really trying to explain the rules to everybody?
Yeah, when I was trying to help, and they're going, ooh. I was going, no, it doesn't help, because if the wrong question comes up first, you know, you're out after one question, aren't you?
Yeah, well, Linda and I were out on a rugby question.
All right.
Like we could care less, you know, went off to the bar and had a chat.
Yes.
Much better. And then I was on it with, I think, Michael Burke, something like
really?
That. Yes. Beauty and the Brains, I think they called us. And we won.
He's not that good looking.
I gave you that. Okay. I gave it.
You won the whole
yes,
thing. And did you win?
That.
Did you get the Pointless?
No, we didn't get the Pointless, but we got, you know, very much down to the...
Yeah, but you got to win. You can't just win.
All
you
right.
Get a trophy. You got to win the money for the charity as well.
They gave us
Maybe
some.
I did it. Maybe I didn't. Who's to say? Wait till you see. I'm hoping I can get Richard Osman and maybe Xander as well as guests, because I love that programme. It's
yes,
a brilliant programme.
Yes, it's good. But again, you know, you've touched on one of my beefs, haven't you?
Have I?
Yes, we'll probably talk about it later.
That's what your gynaecologist did today as well.
So...
We can talk about it now. Well, because you've been in the... In fact, today you're in the news saying that you're fed up... And this isn't any reflection on Alexander Armstrong.
No.
Knackered old male comics should be replaced by a tidal wave of new female talent. So you're saying
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what it says in the Daily Mail or whatever
yeah.
It was.
Well, what I actually said was... I am ridiculous sometimes. I don't listen to what I'm saying. Then I hear something later that apparently I've said. And I think, you silly bitch. No, what I actually said was that I was quite jealous of afternoon TV show hosts. Because, you know, all I did say there are a lot of knackered old male stand-ups whose knees have gone, who can barely stand to do the old stand-up anymore. So they get those really cushy afternoon quiz show jobs. And there's quite a few of them doing it. And us girls just don't get it. And I'm of an age now where a nice afternoon show with a bit of a sit-down between questions would be absolutely ideal. So that got misinterpreted and then twisted and all this kind of thing. And apparently, in the same article, I slagged off Rob Brydon, which I didn't.
Right.
And everyone got all het up, but not many people.
I think it's quite hard work, pointless. They do about four in a day.
Yeah, they get quite well paid for their four in a day.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
I think I could manage it. I think that most of us with an auto cue... Oh, no, actually, he knows everything, doesn't he, the tall
Richard,
lad?
Yeah, Richard is his mate. Though he does have a computer there that I suspect helps him out a little bit.
And an earpiece, because you know that red-haired woman... The one that did the one where, horrible one where you go.
Anne Robinson.
Yes. What an,
yeah,
what an
from the TV
program.
Show You Go. That's what it's You Go. You Go, You Go.
You are the weakest.
I'd watch that. Why didn't you do that?
You go. Just
get 20,
go.
20 people in the room. You go. You've won. Well done. There we go.
No
Come
questions.
Come back next
right.
week for
Let's
another.
Let's do one where there's no questions. There's people in a ring around you, and I'm standing in the middle going, you, your face, go. Just go. Yeah, that would be good, yeah. I like you, stay, yeah, you can do another round. No, you, out. That would be good.
Isn't it take me out? That's basically take me out.
That, I can't take my eyes off that, but you know the red-haired woman that did that show?
Yes.
You Go. she got all her insults through an earpiece.
Did she?
Yeah, she didn't even think of them herself.
Do they think the insults were directed at her and then she just said them to other people?
You're a fucking bitch. I just thought, you know, all those snidey comments. Somebody else. There were sort of young people in a box going, and she can say this. And then she did. And you just think, well, how unattractive that is.
Well, you could tell because with anyone challenge, which rarely they did, but Dave Gorman, I think I remember, kind of coming back and, you know, and saying
stuff
to her.
Did he challenge her?
Yeah, and she couldn't really deal with it because there was...
Yes, that's right.
There's no... The people in her ear aren't sharp enough to deal with it and she's not. They need, you know... It's a good job for a comedian, that job.
Yeah.
That would be perfect. You would be perfect on that.
No, not really. I know the language.
they can just edit that out.
Yeah, yeah.
You stupid cunt.
Yeah. Anyway,
you are the stupidest cunt. Goodbye.
I'm pitching it. You are the stupidest cunt. Fuck off. To give it its proper title.
We can do it online. We can make it with my vast sprawling empire.
Sometimes I have really good ideas for TV shows and I forget to tell anybody until the BBC have had the same idea.
Yeah.
And I'm very intrigued by it. Where's the man that works for a craft shop, arts and crafts?
He's over there, aren't they?
What a great job. Is it the paint one on the corner by Leicester Square?
No, it's in Wolverhampton.
It's in Wolverhampton.
I'm not interested anymore. I'm really sorry. No, but I love the idea of working in an arts and craft shop. I'd steal so much of the merchandise. I love a bit of art and craft. I seriously do. What I wanted to do, the TV programme that was in my head, was Celebrity Art Club.
Right.
Because I've just had to do Splash.
Yes.
I had to do it because...
You had to do it.
Because I wanted some money.
Okay.
and I'm a whore for the light entertainment. Whore for it. I'll do voiceovers, adverts. I'll do anything, me. But I did Splash.
You're on this.
I did. So I did Splash. And... it was quite painful. And,
was it?
Yes. I have an injury. I have a diving injury now, which has affected my panto arm. Actually. And you've got to... Because I might sue. I'm trying to work out how many good panto years I've got left in me. And I reckon about 10 before I really lose... When you do panto, you have to have full use of the panto arm. You're looking at me really blankly. Your audience never go to panto.
They don't, no. They just come here. This
so the panto same. Arm has to be able to draw a sword. It has to be able to do that out gesture, right, like that. Or point upstage like that, maybe with a cloak on. That's panto arm. The diving has restricted my panto arm.
Could you not use the other arm?
No, because then you're doing that across your face. You have to...
Well, just make the other people come on from the other side.
You can't, because in panto, Rich, good people come in on
right.
from stage right, baddies come on from stage left. It's a tradition. Don't fuck with the tradition! Anyway, so there's that.
So how did you injure yourself? Just hitting the water?
Diving. Water's really hard.
Yeah.
And I...
Was it a non-heated pool and it had frozen over? Did you get confused with the ice one, the ice dancing one?
I'm disappointed about you and your physics. You should know that when you dive from a high board, 5 metres, love, yeah. And you have to break the water. You actually have to break the water with your hands, have to be in a certain position. Hold on. Oh, God, I don't know why we're not mic'd up properly. They've got to go like that, right? That's what you've got to do to break. You've got to break the water with your hands like that together. If you don't do that, you break the water with your thighs, which is what I did. I was so badly bruised. I looked like I'd been through a car windscreen. It was great.
So
that was that.
You didn't win Splash, though.
You didn't win...
We don't know yet what happened on Pointless. I'm not saying you didn't win. No. I thought you would be much better at diving than that. I assume you'd be better at diving than a tiny child who looks like Sideshow Bob.
I dived well. Who looks like what?
Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons. He looks like that little boy.
He's a tiny creature.
He is.
There's not many people who couldn't beat him in a fight.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
But he can dive,
yeah.
You know. So anyway, that's that. What else was I talking about? So I was doing that and I got traumatized by the diving because I frightened myself when I realized quite how you could injure yourself, the panto arm, etc. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to do celebrity art club,
yeah.
Where everyone sat around drawing and knitting and doing some things with clay and collage. And all this sort of... Anyway, the BBC are doing it.
Are they?
Not with me.
I thought you were going to say celebrity shoplifting club, because you were talking about nicking art supplies.
Yeah.
Why not try that?
I could do,
it could
yeah.
send a load of celebrities yeah. out to shops to steal
and see
stuff.
Who gets the best stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that.
That'd be good.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah. I know someone who'd be good on it, but
who
I'm not going to say, because it'd be against the law. I actually do. I still do a little
do
bit.
Still?
I used to shoplift quite a lot in my 20s when I was a bit depressed.
Yes.
For the thrill.
So I was too depressed to get my wallet out. Too depressed.
Well, A, I didn't have any money, and B, it was the yeah. thrill of it, though, because I generally only stole stuff I hardly ever... And I stole really odd stuff. Occasionally, I stole kind of stationery supplies that I did need.
Yeah.
But I would steal things I didn't really need just for the thrill of running away. It was quite good fun.
Did you run away? Did you do the sprint?
No, what I did was... and this is a very good tip for anyone who wants to shoplift, is I would just walk out with the thing in my hand that I wanted to take.
Yeah.
Because then I figured, might not be legally, there might be some policemen in the audience. That if you go, oh, sorry, I didn't realise I was doing. You know, if you've hidden it, I think you're in trouble. But if you walk it out within your hand, I stole every single Tintin book in two goes.
It's good.
But that's quite good. I quite like those.
You must have looked like you were shifting stock.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Yeah, like
I think
you
if, you're just,
there.
If you're just walking out with loads of stuff, they're going to go, oh, there must be a reason for that guy to... But now I do still shoplift. I mean, this is probably...
Don't tell anybody.
As a criminal, this is a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Because people will be watching out for me now. But if I'm like in a motorway service station and I feel the prices are ridiculous...
Yes.
I will sometimes make the price closer to what I think it should be. Because I figure, you know, they're stealing from me. And also, like, what? Once I was in a newsagent, they were just... It was in W.H. Smith or something like that. And the queue was
so
long.
And they're being
long.
Slow. They're too slow to
they're
get money.
They're too slow. And I thought, I've got to go somewhere. I need this. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
And if you stop me, I'll go, well, that's fine. I'll tell everyone that I wait for 15 minutes to buy it. And you didn't serve me. So, you know,
yeah,
you
can decide. Yeah, that'll stand up in court.
Yeah.
You're only a 45-year-old man.
46. But, you know, it's better than what all the other celebrities are up to, isn't it? So it's not. Hey! But I do, okay. But it's very wrong. You shouldn't do it because ultimately it's the consumer that suffers.
Well, not really if it's you.
No, but it's not me. And stealing is wrong and bad, especially from me. So let's have a look. I'll ask you an emergency question because you haven't had hardly any of these. You did have some emergency questions. If you had to choose between a tit that dispensed talcum powder, you may have heard
what?
This question.
A tit.
A tit.
A tit.
Like in a breast.
Yes.
Like one of your breasts would dispense talcum powder.
Oh, I like that idea.
Well, yeah, that's good, but wait.
The non-chafing tit.
Yeah, well, and also then you could use it for, you know, whatever you wanted, as much talcum powder as you Brilliant. Could reasonably use.
Fountain of talc. Yeah. Great. Lovely, lovely.
Or a finger that could travel through time.
I'll take talcum tit.
Will you? Wow, straight in.
Totally.
I don't think you've thought about this enough.
I don't need to think about it. I don't want the travelling finger.
Yeah.
No, talcum tit. I travel a lot on Virgin trains that stink. Talcum tit would be so useful. Oh, it's the best invention ever.
Yeah.
Was that what? Are you our other guest, Adam? When you had Adam Buxton
last
on,
week? Yeah.
Last week.
And I'm surprised that's not out yet. I'm surprised you know about it.
But he was talking about the puffball.
He was, yeah.
And you didn't know what one was.
I didn't. Well, no, I didn't.
But you're a country boy.
That's why I like this, because you learn.
I've seen them.
I was kept on a very tight rein as a child by my mother. She wouldn't let me out.
Well, only because you steal things from shops.
I was very good when I was a kid. In fact, my dad keeps on going on about this story where when I was so principled and good at school, I never did anything wrong. I was quite bad, but I was cheeky, but I didn't. I would never have stolen. And there was one time I was in the sixth form canteen and I noticed that the woman wasn't paying attention. There were like Twixes on the counter. And so to show her, to demonstrate that she wasn't paying attention.
To demonstrate, I took a
Twix and I hid it behind my back, and then when I got to the counter, I was going to go, I could have stolen that, and then I was going to pay for it, just to show her.
That's a great
But great then one
excuse.
Of the other dinner ladies came up to me and got me and was really furious and was going to dob me in, and she still goes on about it now, apparently, how convinced she is that I would steal stuff. But I wouldn't have stolen the stuff then.
And they'd claim anything for a bit of fame, weren't they?
They come back...
And was
Prove
it your
it.
Father said what? He said he thought you were a principal
my dad,
boy.
My dad still goes on and on about it, and he's convinced that I was trying to steal the Twix.
I'm on your dad's
I
side.
I wasn't, though. I was trying to... I was being like the Dukes of Hazzard. I was trying to show the authorities... No, I wasn't being like the Dukes of Hazzard. They would have stolen the Twix, probably. None of you remember anything about that. Why have you forgotten the 1970s that was? Okay, so definitely no time travelling finger. That's interesting,
How many of these have you done?
This is about 35, I think, 46.
But talcum of tit questions.
I've done it. I haven't done that. That's quite a new question. There isn't even a T-shirt for that. That's how new... new that is.
I think the T-shirt should have a hole in it and the tit should come out.
Yeah.
And then the T-shirt would be called Talcum of... Tit of Talcum.
Yeah.
Or Talcum Tit. Talcum doesn't tit, really matter. Tit, talcum. And then your tit would be hanging out of it and people would maybe think it was a magic tit.
I'll give that a go. I see if that sells as well as... Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
No. Good question. It's quite...
It's quite a good question. What is the chemical composition of a carrot?
The chemical composition?
Yeah, how many chemicals are there in a carrot?
Well, there's a lot of water. Mm. It'd be something like 98% water.
Yeah.
And then there'll be some... Are you talking vitamins? Do we have to...
No, it's the chemicals that are in it. There's loads of different ones.
Is it CR12?
I don't know. You could just say anything. I don't know.
I don't know that.
If you were going to go on Dragon's Den, what would you pitch on Dragon's Den? Have you got an invention you would like to pitch to Dragon's Den?
I should have thought about this, shouldn't I?
Yeah. I don't know how you would have been able to. That's the first time I've asked it.
I did once have an idea, and I can't remember what it is, which is a shame.
I have them all the time, and then I keep forgetting them. I was trying to think what mine were, but I can't remember what they are.
I think that question is too hard to spring on people. Because if you really had a good idea, you'd take it to Dragon's Den, not give it away on this stupid podcast for all your nerdy mates to listen in and think, oh, well, I'll take that to Dragon's Den.
I could fund it with my badge millions. I sold four badges.
I'm going to take talcum tit in.
Okay, you can do.
Yeah.
You're welcome to it. I think, if anything, that's Shappy Corsandi's idea. That's where that... Would you rather be a cow or a badger, and why?
Cow or badger? Yeah.
Don't know if I asked you that in Edinburgh.
I've never seen... cows make good rugs. I have a cow hide at home, nice big cow hide. And I don't think badgers only make toothbrushes, don't they?
Shaving brushes, yeah, they make them.
Yes, I remember when I had a brace, and part of the sort of getting over having a brace was being bought a badger bristle toothbrush.
Oh, right, okay.
It was in the 70s.
The 1870s?
Yes, that's right.
Badger bristle toothbrush.
You were taken on a badger hunt, and you had to catch your own badger, and... forge your own brush. No, I don't know the answer to that one either. No. Which would I rather... So what... Badgers, people are killing them, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
I'd rather be a cow.
Yeah, people are killing them as well.
Yeah, but...
You'd rather be eaten after you've been killed.
I've never seen a live badger. All you ever see them... You see them squashed on the road all the time, don't you? I don't think there's ever such a thing as a live
you
badger.
You don't think there are any live ones?
No.
You think someone comes up at night and just put dead badgers on the road?
Yeah.
To make us think there are badgers. And it's a bloke just spreading TB himself and then blaming the badgers. That would be good. You're doing Grumpy Old Women, number three.
Stage three,
number three.
Yeah, these are...
There can't be that much you're grumpy about. You can do three shows of it.
Do you know what? We've already sold this one to New Zealand, so fuck you, Richard Herring. No, they are odd. They're funny. Well, you worked on the first one, and then you got too much money for it, so we didn't use you again.
It's not my fault.
No, you have a very good agent.
I do.
But he's my agent as well, and I got the bum part of the deal. But anyway, we're over that now. We're not having a Stephen Marchant moment. How ugly did it get?
It was just a bit tense.
Was it?
So, yeah.
Brilliant. I love it when things go wrong. The Grumpy Show is a new one, and they are odd. I don't suppose anybody here has ever seen one. Why would you?
It's very, very fun. They are good, but it is like an audience of 98% women and the script editor. Sitting in the back, kind of terrified, because there is this... I came to see it in Cheltenham, I think.
Yeah, which is kind of one of the bases. It's a bit like army bases. You have sort of spiritual homes of grumpy old women.
Yeah.
And actually, anywhere that's got a Scottish woolen mill shop, anywhere you can buy a kilt locally, you know that you've got a lot of grumpy old women. And they frightened you, didn't they?
Yeah, it's the sound. The sound of the lots of middle-aged women laughing is really terrifying.
Yeah.
It's properly, like, viscerally... There's something in you, just instinctively,
that makes
you want to run from that. maybe it's to protect the world.
They still work. It's extraordinary. They're really... Because they're not like stand-up, and they're not like plays, and they're not like... anything really, because they're written and they're a 3-week rehearsal period and they're kind of quite physically big. They have to have trucks and they have to, you know, it's this one. I know, I can tell you because I know you won't come see it. So it starts with a shed on stage. So there's a shed, like a, you know, garden shed, and it's all nice music. Do, 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 do. That one. The other TV show I'd like to do is Movement to Music. whenever I hear that do, 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 I want to be a crocus. Do you remember pretending to be a crocus, pushing through the ground? Anyway, forget that image. So you've got the shed, you've got the lovely pastoral music, and then suddenly there's sun, thunder and lightning, and smoke comes out of the shed, and the theme tune from Space Odyssey, that one, starts up, and the shed opens up like that, and the three of us walk out like space women. Yeah. Anyway, it's really good. And you'd be really impressed.
And that takes an hour and a half. And then you go, bye! Hope you enjoyed it.
It is really physical. It's a real... It is kind of like a workout, really. It's a lot going on.
I talked to Virginia Ironside on a Meaning of Life show. And she does shows about... She's a slightly older, so they're more about old age, her shows. But there's...
I've seen one of her shows.
But it's kind of, that's interesting because it's an increasing audience.
There's a market,
There's a massive audience, and they're people who still go to the theatre and people who, you know, have disposable income. So it's like a big...
And also we do a pizza offer. And that gets them out. With the Pizza Express, you get a ticket to the show and half price pizza.
Yeah.
Come on down, girls.
You can get that all the time at Pizza Express. You really can. I can't remember the last time I went to Pizza Express and didn't get a half price pizza. I think Pizza Express have just very gradually moved their prices so it's cost double. And so they go, it's half price now. Very good though. I mean, I'm fancy a Pizza Express now you've mentioned
that. Can't eat pizza.
Can you not eat pizza?
I'm massively allergic to tomatoes.
Are you? That is weird because Adam Buxton, who we had on last week, who didn't talk about this last week, but the last time I was here, doesn't eat cheese.
Not at all.
No. So if he goes for a pizza, he just has some dough with some tomato on it.
We could maybe share a pizza, but it'll get very messy. We'll claw off the tomato. And he'd have to lift...
Tomatoes? That's an unusual... you're allergic or just don't like them?
Massively allergic.
What happens if you eat a tomato?
My mouth...
Who's got a tomato?
Don't throw any. My mouth blisters up. I get tiny, painful mouth ulcers.
But you're working in the worst job for that.
No, that's
because people throw tomatoes at us. They don't like us.
I'm not that old. I don't belong to Shakespearean stand-up comedy days. I don't think they should bring it back, actually. Yeah, but it's quite funny. The idea of having squashed tomatoes and cabbage leaves thrown at
me. Don't give them any ideas. They'll be back next week throwing stuff at me. There's been flies in here. Everything's already... We've already have enough of that. That's terrible, being allergic to tomatoes. I must have known that before.
Yeah. It makes my life very difficult. Yeah. Is this the bit where I start to cry?
Yeah, if you like... It's pretty weak compared to some of the confessions I've had. Yeah, sometimes I get a blistered mouth if I eat a tomato, but I just generally don't eat a tomato, and then it's for any other of the tomato family that will make that
I don't
happen.
Do strawberries either,
really?
I don't do much red stuff. No. I know. Oh. Anyway, listen, I'm bored of that now.
I'm not. I find that fascinating. I've learned something very interesting about you. We did share a flat in the 1990s a lot in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Every year, we more or less...
You wore the same dressing gown.
I did. I always... It's not the same one I've got now, but I like having a dress.
There was a toweling one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
It was a blue one, that one, I think. Yeah.
Yes. That had seen better days. I don't think it had actually seen any better days, actually. It was kind of a dank dressing gown of despair.
Glad you remember it. I had forgotten that. I didn't know I was so prepared that I took a dressing gown up to Edinburgh in those days. I always do now. I spent most of my day sitting around in the flat.
Oh, yeah, I know. Actually, I have to say that I did Edinburgh last year, and the flat was so high up, I had to really think about going out. You know when there's too many stairs and these big tenement blocks in Edinburgh, and you just think, well, I could go out. And you think, oh, I can't be arsed with those stairs on the way back. So I only went out once a day, really, to gig. So I used to listen to your podcasts. Oh. And it was a bit like having a cat. A sort of cyber cat. it.
Yeah.
Because it was quite comforting.
Yeah.
And I sort of was very lonely. I was terribly lonely and very hungry, but couldn't be asked to do the stairs. So I just used to lie weakly on this bed. Week and listen to your podcast.
Can you believe all that time? I can't. It just seems to me like the 1990s was so. That doesn't seem like 20 years. We'd have been sharing a flat 20 years ago.
20 years ago, I know. You never made a single pass.
I know.
Everyone used to scratch. I was very pretty in those days. Well, that.
I think the shock is because you're still very pretty now. So that is why.
I went through a phase and I was quite attractive. And you'd have thought they'd have all been scratching at my door, begging to come in, but no. But it was nice. There were some nice moments. It was nice.
It was fun.
Really nice.
It was fun, but I can't believe it. Just feels Dundas Street we lived in. That
Dundas,
was nice.
That
was the first one. Very nice. Just as time passes very quickly. That's all I'm talking about. Your little daughter used to come and see us. Now she's 24 years old, is she?
She used to make a leaflet. And I used to make a leaflet for me as well, stick things. She was so short, and I used to give her blue tack and my posters, and she was so short, they'd end up on lampposts, really short, low down. So dogs would be pissing on my face. I think that was her revenge. She's a writer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a playwright.
It's incredible.
And she's got an agent.
She really looks like you, because I was going to talk about this, but there's loads of photos of you from the early days, because you were doing stand-up in the alternative comedy in the 1980s.
I invented it, love.
You did invent it. And so, but she looks very like you, very very similar, which is lovely. But there's quite a lot of people have died, haven't they, recently from those early days.
Yeah.
So it's, again, gives you an idea of the kind of passage of time. But you were there doing punk poetry, like in the 1980s, in the Tunnel Club and places like that.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it was such a dreadful... I had such a horrible time. I was about 22 when I started doing punk poetry, because I was desperate to be an actress and nobody would take me seriously.
Alfieda Zane Pett.
Yeah,
I know. Beg to differ.
And I used to do the really, really rough clubs. And the Tunnel Club was particularly awful. And there was a flyover. You used to have to walk over this flyover. And the old man, I'd been with the same bloke for 30 years, over 30 years now. We spent Valentine's night installing a new dishwasher.
That's nice.
That was nearly... Honestly, that was the closest I think we've come to breaking up. Really, you know. And he was so out of puff doing this dishwasher. I thought, how unattractive. I had to go and lie down on the sofa and I had to bring him a lime cordial. While he got his breath back.
It's very nice that I got a new dishwasher recently and I got John Lewis to put it in for me. You could have done that.
Did they do it for you?
Yeah. You have to pay him, but it's going to do it for you.
We did it ourselves. It was miserable.
It's too complicated.
I know. Yeah. Yes, Jeff used to give me a lift to this walkover and I used to look at the traffic below and think I could jump off this bridge and put an end to this now. It was really, really scary. It was scary times.
I mean, it was a much more variety. Chris Luby, who has recently died, was doing...
Machine gun noises.
Well, and aeroplanes.
Bypasses. Yeah, those sort of things. And Al Murray started.
Yeah.
Well, he had a very strange act where, didn't he pretend to be a serial killer with a machine gun?
Yeah.
And then he put a body in the boot.
Yes.
And I remember watching that thinking, this is quite dark. It was a relief when he did the pub landlord. It really was. God. So, yeah, there was a hugely that people were... And I think that's come back, and that it's good. I think that there's a lot of different comedy around at the moment. And what's more healthy is that I think audiences have a lot more imagination. Maybe it's because they're open to... Just they're more open to stuff.
Yeah.
There's more choice and there's more venues. So people who don't want to see mainstream comedy don't have to go and see it. You know, you just go, well, I'm not going there. Look at the kind of people that go there. You know, I wouldn't... But back then, you were forced into doing those places because there weren't...
Yeah. So somewhere like the Tunnel Club, when you came on, which was notoriously... The hecklers were there ready to eat up everybody who came on stage. So a young woman comes on and starts doing punk poetry.
Yeah.
Did they enjoy that or did they give you a hard time?
I used to go so loud and so fast and do so much swearing that they couldn't get in. That was my sort of defence mechanism. So all this sort of, you know, the hardest woman in comedy was actually because I was a snivelling coward and didn't want them shouting at me. So I was just there going, fuck this, fuck that, fuck everything, fuck, 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 fuck. Hey!
Nothing's changed, really.
There was one that went, oh dear, agony auntie, I have a discharge in my panties. It's not VD, I'm sure of that. I've never had trouble before with my twat. I was 22. Nothing has changed. Oh dear.
Yeah, so do you get... Yeah. There's always the well-timed pause.
Oh, you turned into your headmaster father.
I did a little bit. Yes, very good. Well done. Thanks. And was it harder for women then than it is now, or is it harder now for women to do stuff?
It's harder for me now. I don't know. I suppose it's different for everybody, but I think genuinely that the door is more open now for women, and I think that women in comedy are much more welcoming of other women in. I think that, and this sounds quite, and I was as guilty of it as anybody, but I think we were very precious, and I think that if you, as a woman, you got in anywhere, you wanted to close the door behind you, close the door, don't let anyone else through, don't let any of the other bitches in. And I think that genuinely was a kind of, again, a defence thing,
yeah.
Because there wasn't that much work, and it was kind of, you didn't want to share it, and I think that women comics now are just so much more generous with each other, and a lot more supportive, and actually, you know, they have this network friendship that is very healthy, and I sort of sniff around the edges of it, and I'm very, very happy when I'm invited in. I feel really kind of privileged, because that didn't happen to me from when I was starting out.
Mm.
Not really. I mean, it fits and spurts, but we didn't really see each other enough, and there wasn't the social networking, so you'd go months without seeing another female comic.
Yeah.
Because they never had two on a bill, you know, that would be madness. So it's changed, and I think it's changing for the better, and it's interesting to watch.
Hmm. And so with all the panel shows, that's what everyone's going on about now.
Still waiting for a phone call.
Yeah.
And I beef on about it. I've been very indiscreet. And the worst one, I'll tell you this anecdote, then I've got to get the 176. Okay. So they were talking about women doing panel shows and comedy shows on Woman's Hour. Well, I was in my house, and I thought, well, yes, they're talking about this, and I know about this, I'm going to join in. And I tweeted Woman's Hour, and I said, it was a female producer was on saying that she found it very difficult to recruit women comics to do Have I Got News For You? And she was going on about how many women said no. So I tweeted in, and Jane Garvey, who presents Woman's Hour, read my tweet out, and I was listening to the radio at the time, and all of a sudden my tweet was read out, and I blushed. I felt myself just... I was in my daughter's bedroom. I wasn't trying to find her diary. I might have been... And I was like in a pool of my own embarrassment as they read out my tweet, which is basically saying, well, I've been in comedy for 30 years and I've never been invited on to Have I Got News For You. So anyway, this female producer, she sort of went for a bit, and then she said this thing, which actually was very to the point. She said, well, the thing is about Jenny Eclair, she's not really everybody's cup of tea. I am listening at home. I'm unemployed. I'm not unemployed, because you can never be unemployed if you're freelance. That's the great thing about being freelance. But I've been sacked from Loose Women. I'm there and I'm thinking, well, what the fuck? And that was me told. And sometimes that is the truth. Sometimes people don't like you. Sometimes commissioning
editors... Nigel Farage on it. They've had that other fucking idiot from UKIP on it. No one likes them.
I know. Less popular than Nigel Farage. That's next year's Edinburgh poster.
But it is ridiculous. The lovely thing, when you do something, we've done Just a Minute together, and last time I was on Just a Minute, I didn't even strike me at the time, but you know, there was more than one woman, which is obviously Sheila Hancock and Josie Lawrence, and you know, it didn't even strike me. It's just so, but it's so lovely actually to have that vibe in a room, because it's not loads of men being competitive.
And I think it actually makes the men relax. I think the men go, oh, phew. Two really unfunny women. I won't have to try very hard. No, I don't think that. I think that actually everyone goes, oh, this will be a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And I think when I now see a television programme, a panel show, and there aren't any women on it, I won't watch it. And I don't watch the ones that I've not been invited onto. I don't know why. I think I can talk about panel games. I don't watch any of them. So it is changing. It is getting better. And,
I mean, there are absolutely so many. Once you list all the women who could be on panel shows, it's ridiculous because there are so many fantastic women who would be, would be able to do that.
And
it's not everyone's cup of tea. I mean, I don't think I wouldn't do Mock the Week because I don't think I'd be very good on Mock the Week.
Oh, I'd be rubbish.
But there are lots of women who would be good on Mock the Week if they were allowed to go on it.
Yeah,
we'd be interesting to see whether they are, but we'll see.
It is going to be interesting to see whether they stick to that promise and whether. I mean, the most important thing is that it isn't tokenism, that they don't mean women as in some female pop star or weather girl or whatever. It should be a really good female comic.
Yeah.
So not me.
And not me unless I'm prepared to make that ultimate sacrifice for my career. It might be the only way on. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming in.
It's been lovely as ever. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jenny Eclair!
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Jenny Eclair. The music is by Pest. Thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide and all the staff at the Leicester Square Theatre. And for Chris Evans, no, not that one, don't be stupid, he wouldn't be involved in this, the Welsh one. And everyone from GoFasterStripe.com who have made all of this possible. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Thank you for listening. As I said at the start, if you would like to donate some money to help this keep running and other stuff keep running, go to gofasterstripe.com/RHMOL and you can donate even just £1. You'll get a badge. To be honest, we haven't really made enough money from this to pay for the badges yet, so it would be nice just to buy a badge so that we're not in debt for the badges. And if you want, you can donate money every month, which would be fantastic. If you could just give us £1 a month. If everyone who listened to Rahelestapur gave us £1 a month, we could do some amazing things. So be one of the people who donates and you'll get rewarded in heaven and also get to see and also get a badge as well while you're on earth. And there is a special, for people who do subscribe monthly, there is a special channel with secret stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So it's worth doing for that. So just £1, you can give more than £1 a month if you want. That would be lovely. Or come and see me on tour. All my dates at richardherring.com. I'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe again as usual. And whenever you listen to this, I'm probably on tour unless I am dead. In which case, come to my grave and have a look at it and maybe do a wee on it. That is what I want. If I am dead, you can do it and say that's what he wanted, because it is what I want. We on my grave and Smunk on it. Thanks, bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.